Colossae. They were known as Colossians. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Stop right there. He is referring to the fact that when we heard about your faith, believers in Colossae, Asia Minor, Turkey today, when we heard about your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, we were so excited, we were so elated, the apostle is speaking, that we began praying for you and we never stopped praying for you. And that our desire for you is that you might be filled with the knowledge of God. Church, listen, 2025, it's your decision. I've already made the decision. I'm going to seek God with all my heart to be filled with the knowledge of God, because there's nothing else valuable to take my time or yours than that. Listen, go ahead and live your life and be wise. Be the best in school, be the best on the job, be the best mom, the best dad, the best husband, the best wife. Go do it. But just know this, the number one thing is your pursuit this year of knowing God's will for your life. You will experience profound peace, liberty, and freedom this year, and vision. Your life will be filled with meaning and purpose. And it's the only way to live. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. How in the world can we do that? Don't worry. The Holy Spirit's job is to get that to happen. All you do is you present yourself. We'll be studying that in Romans on Sunday. Back to Romans chapter 12 on Sunday, verse 1. And it's all about presenting yourself to God. You want to have God's will done in your life because you don't want to do your own, because that's how we make a bunch of mistakes. God, live your life through me. Take your knowledge, God, from your word. Supernaturally allow me to do your word, to do your will. And it doesn't have to be rough. God will lead you. God will guide you. That's what the Holy Spirit's all about. He wants to lead you. And it's beautiful. It's awesome, believer. And he goes on to say, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing, here comes that word again, in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. Man, that's a lot of power. So I'm going to interrupt myself, and I'm going to do it this way. How about if I were all alone, or if you were all alone, and you're not sure exactly how to pray? That's why you want to write this passage of Scripture down, Colossians 1, 9 through 18. You would pray something like this. Lord, I pray that my faith, verse 9, would be something that is worthy to even be noticed. Not that it's my faith that should be noticed, but it's my faith in that I'm obeying you and that it might be inspirational to other people, verse 9. And Lord, I want to be filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Do you think God will not answer that prayer? I promise you, God will answer that prayer. Pray Bible. Jesus said in John 15, verse 7, pray the Bible. God will answer your prayer. That's pretty cool. Amen. You say, well, yeah, but does that mean I'm still getting my Ferrari? I've been praying for a Ferrari. No, I'm sorry. The word, even in Latin or Greek or Hebrew, the word Ferrari is not there. It doesn't work that way. But if you pray, Lord God Almighty, I want your knowledge to reside in me, God will stir your heart up. And he'll put a hunger in you. And listen, you'll be driving down the street or you'll be at work or whatever you're doing, and you'll have a thought in your mind. I want to sit down. I'm going to get a bottle of water or a Pepsi or a cup of coffee or whatever. I'm going to sit down and I want to read the Bible. You're going to have that thought. Did you know that's a supernatural thought? I got news for you. Satan doesn't want you to read the Bible. Satan's not going to say, hey, why don't you stop mowing the lawn and mow the Bible? Mow the Bible. But wait a minute. That'll work. Back and forth over the Bible. How's that? Getting the knowledge of God. And you would pray, Lord, make me fruitful. And Lord, these good works that you have for me, God, I can't identify them. I would never recognize them. So Lord, help me to just do them and strengthen me, Lord, with all of your might, according to your glorious power. And Lord, I need help in this too, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Did you guys all hear that? See, Pastor, can you not repeat that part? No, we all need patience. My goodness. Have you noticed fast food drive-thrus are not fast enough now? And they're trying to calm us down because they've got people now out in the parking lot taking your order, pre-order. And they always put the nicest people out there in the parking lot to calm us down. It's so crowded. When's the last time you went to In-N-Out? Anybody? They put the nicest people who I think are taking their doctorates in psychology. And they're very disarming. They got the cute little red and white hat on. And they look so disarming, but I think they're just brilliant. And you're all like, I want an In-N-Out double-double, animal style. And they're like, of course. And they're like, what are they doing? We have a culture to whereby if we don't get it fast enough, we're going to throw our toys down and panic about it. And we really need to grow in the area of patience, everybody. Amen. Like that guy right there. Patience. None of us want to say, Lord, you know, how many times in a prayer meeting do you hear somebody say, Lord, just do a work in my life and cause me to develop patience. Nobody prays that prayer. You know what? If you pray that prayer, you'll be on the 405. Or the 91, or the 71, or the 605, or the 710, or the 110, or the 101, or the 1. God's got to do this in our lives this year, church. We're all in this together. And all we have to do tonight is be willing on this first day of the year. We're dedicating our lives to Him in this way. And we can have this experience, the patience and the long-suffering with joy, because joy is a word that is not happiness or happy, happy. We're not going to learn long-suffering and patience and be happy about it. Well, doesn't God want me happy? No. Where does it say that in the Bible? I'm engaged. Is this man going to make me happy? No. Is this woman going to make me happy? No, listen, that's too much pressure. People say, oh, I can't live without you. I have to marry you. Wait, if somebody's telling you, I can't live without you, you make me happy. That's like a lot of stress. Listen, happy, the word happy is based on happenstance. That's where it comes from. And basically it's this, how's it going? Not so good. I'm very unhappy. Why are you unhappy? Because it's not so good. Did you know when it's not so good, you can still have joy? You know why? Because the perspective is, I see God in all this because, watch, I see God in all this because I can't figure it out. That's how you know God is in something. Nobody can figure it out. I've gone to 25 counselors. Nobody can figure this out. That's because God is in it and He wants to tell you. So go talk to Him. Think of it. And joy is knowing that God is in your life come what may. Joy. Joy. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Listen up, everybody. God the Father has qualified us. You didn't qualify you. The world, I get it, the world of competition, either academically or athletics. Here we are coming up on the closing of the NFL season, and all the teams have made it to the finals. And now it's, you know, do or die kind of a thing. They've qualified to get in. Most teams didn't. We understand how this goes. Well, how do I get into heaven? You're kind of making it sound like, you know, I need to be qualified to get into heaven. You do. Oh, you do. Your answer, though, as to my question right now, determines your eternal destination. Listen, if you know the answer, don't shout it out. Let's just be really quiet. I'm going to say, sarcastically, how do you think you get qualified to enter heaven. Shh, if you say, try really hard to be a very good person. Write a big check to some great work. The Bible tells us there's nothing that you can do in the area of goodness that will qualify you for heaven. Not a single one. Listen, people, think about people. Think about Billy Graham. Think about Mother Teresa. Think about fill in the blank. Think about the best people you've ever known. According to the Bible, Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Now, what I just said just insulted all of the people in here that are proud of their morality. Well, Pastor, I don't agree with you. Yeah, maybe I do for most of these people, but you're not talking about me. Look around. I'm looking around. I'm better than everybody else in here. You're so far from the kingdom of heaven, you can't even see that. Jesus said it this way. Boy, does this, listen, wow, this will test your life. This is to see if you have a pulse. Jesus said, I didn't come for the healthy people. I came for the sick. That's not an insult. That's not like you go, oh, thank you, because I'm doing fine. Thank you very much, Jesus. You go over there and save those people. Lord knows they need saving. Oh, wow. Jesus said, I didn't come to deliver the righteous, but the unrighteous. Think of that for a moment. He was testing the audience. If there were people in the gathering and they believed they were righteous, they were far from heaven. Make sense, everybody? God says in the Bible, our hearts are wicked and desperately wicked that we can't even know them. We can't know our motives. Did you know that? We think we do, but we're so blinded. We're so limited. Anyway, we'll keep going here. This gets amazing, even more so. Giving thanks to the Father who qualified us by the blood of Jesus, of course, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. What does that mean? What Jesus did at the cross in purchasing salvation, that's awesome. But that was just the beginning. Did you know that God tells us that after he purchased us on the cross, that for all those who will put their faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that God will include us in as heirs and co-heirs with Christ to all that God has done and what God is going to do forever. You want to talk about an inheritance? That's an inheritance. I met a woman just a few weeks ago here in this church, and she said, Pastor Jack, my life has become very, very blessed recently, and I want counsel, I want guidance. She said, I've just inherited more money than I could spend in my lifetime, and I don't want to mess this up. It's God's money. And I don't like when people say that to me, and I'm not joking. That is a scary thing, man. And I usually almost always get in trouble because I turn them away. I always say, come back in 3 weeks. Go pray. You come back in 3 weeks and we'll talk about it. And, you know, most people say, what are you, nuts? You should have told her. Mm-mm. I don't want to stand before God and him say to me, what did you tell her something? I didn't even tell you to tell her that. I was going to tell her something and you got in the way, Jack. Best thing to do, if you're consulting God and crying out to God, or you want to know what God wants to do, best thing to do is to go to him first. Amen. Listen, and please, with all affection, don't pay a couple of bucks and go ask some priest or some pastor or some poem reader. I need an answer now. No, you don't. God will give you the answer in his time. Listen, we get in a hurry, we make mistakes. Wait upon the Lord and you will do well. It doesn't matter if you have a nickel or if you have an infinite amount of nickels. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. And you want to talk about inheritance? Whatever you can inherit in this life, here's what's fun. There's no economic transference into the kingdom of heaven. No one's going to be driving around in heaven, you know, with like a Vespa scooter and somebody goes by in a Bentley or a Rolls. That ain't gonna happen. Last time I checked the Bible, we're going to walk around a lot. And we need it after these holidays, I tell you. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son, that's Jesus, of his love. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Wow, it's his blood, church. It's his blood. It's his blood. Oh, my goodness. Oh. I shouldn't say this right now. I don't think I'm supposed to say this. I'm going to say it. It's coming. I'm going to get a phone call tomorrow. So there's a, I think today, a new book was dropped on Amazon, pre-order today, and we're excited about it. But it's about, the book is titled, It's Time to Take a Bold Stand. But the best part about the book, if you look it up on Amazon right now, and this is kind of controversial. Across the book is a big red cross on the entire cover, a big red cross. And it looks like somebody took a paintbrush and dipped it into some red paint and went up, you know, across and down. And the debate was this, that kind of like radical looking. And I said, that's what we want. But it's kind of like in your face. Well, look at the title. It's time to take a bold stand. It's time to have a bold faith. And it's true. Because listen, if you're doubting that right now, listen, you'll either side, maybe even unwillingly, with fear. Did we not just go through about 4 years ago? Was it 4 years ago? I'm losing my, what is this? 25, COVID started when? Technically the end of 19, 2020. What did we spend? 3, 4, 5 years? Going through this grand global experiment about what fear can do to somebody? It didn't work out well. Fear never works out well. It'll rob you every time. We're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. And so the scripture says that he is the image, this is Jesus, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn over all creation. That word means a preeminent one. It means he's the creator of it all. Did you know that? The Bible says in numerous books of the Bible that it's Jesus who was the actual, this shouldn't surprise us, he was the builder of it all. He's the carpenter. I thought that was kind of cute when he came into the world. He worked with his father as a carpenter. Boy, we underestimated his skills. If God can do all this stuff in 6 days, imagine what he's been doing for the last 2,000 years. Jesus said, I'm going to go away and prepare a place for you. I'll come back and pick you up. Assuming, implying, when it's done, I'll pick you up. 6 days versus 2,000 years? Let me tell you, I can't wait to move. We ought to get excited about that more often, you know, people? Verse 16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. I love that. That's not only invisible entities like angels, but I can't see atoms right now, technically. Right? I mean, this is a wooden podium, but this is a collection of materials of this physical universe. But if you remove the space between what you see. If you just suck the space out between these atoms, this podium would be about 2 inches, 3 inches tall. That's a weird thing. Think of that for a minute. Technically, there's more space here than there is matter. That ought to freak you out for the rest of the night. The Bible says Jesus made all that stuff that we can't see with our naked eye. Think about the infrared light waves that are going through this place. What about radio waves? What about all of the broad... What about... Did you know that? What about gamma rays and various rays that are being emitted from space, predominantly the sun, that are just going right through the roof, right through and down and through into the earth. That's happening right now. Can you imagine if you could see that stuff? It's like, oh my. And yet it's happening. You can't see it, but it's a scientific fact. It can be measured. It can be recorded. It can be watched. Wow. But our brain and our eyes only capture a small wavelength of frequency, and so we see a limited amount of color. We see a limited amount of light. We're very limited. It's amazing. I have to stop 3 minutes ago. No, I can't. But there's all kinds of people that have volunteered and they're working and they're like this going, when's he going to stop? Same thing every week. He goes on and on. So watch this. And he is above all things, and in him all things consist. He holds the entire universe together. He's the glue that keeps the atom from flying apart. Nobody knows. You know. Caltech, they haven't figured it out yet. I'm not joking. They haven't figured it out. You could walk onto Caltech right now. We have people here who work at Caltech. Thank God. But they know what's holding the universe together. They just can't say because they're... It's Jesus! Newton was all on that. And he is the head of the body, the church. Make sure you go to a church that has a head. There's a lot of headless churches today. Avoid Sleepy Hollow Church. And when I'm talking a church without a head, I'm talking about a church that doesn't honor Jesus, doesn't honor his word, and doesn't care about his business. It's all about people building some earthly human kingdom for themselves or for the committee. Don't do that. Amen. The head of the body, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That means Jesus was the first one to be resurrected from the dead, never to return to the grave. Listen, when Jesus ministered, and even the Old Testament miracles where some were raised from the dead, they had to die again. Let's think about that. Lazarus, come forth. Remember Lazarus comes out hopping? Jesus says, unwrap him and let him go. Did you know Lazarus was going to have to die again? Jesus rose again from the dead, never to die again. Never to die again. That's why it says that he's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. And all God's people said, amen. The preeminence is God's place in your life. So church, let's stand together. And Father God, we pray, the year is before us. You are God. We pray right now, Lord God, and we would ask all those in their countries to pray for their countries. But we're here in America right now. We're here right now in California. And God, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would send revival to your church in California and in America. Number two, we pray that the church would become so incredibly attractive because of your holiness and your beauty that the lost would seek the truth of God, that we would proclaim the hope that is within us to everyone who asks of us. Lord, create a culture out there in the world that wants to know truth. Come down, Holy Spirit, fill us afresh. And God, we pray that you'd go ahead every day, ahead in our lives, ahead in our homes, ahead in this church, ahead, Father, in this state, ahead of this nation. God, we're in a very difficult situation right now. Our country has no leaders, no official leaders. We're kind of in the lurch, but you're on your throne. Lord God, we pray that for your people, we beg of you, Father God, that you would send great, great manifestations of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, save our youth, save our junior hires, save our high schoolers, save our college kids. Oh God in heaven, save and redeem. And we thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.